Details on the mysterious dairy cow disease has been identified. We have that in our news updates. Plus, we head to the largest seed stock operation, the number one. Got any idea which one it is? Crew, let's ranch it up. Good day, everyone, and thanks for riding with us on this all-new episode of the Ranch It Up Radio Show. I'm Jeff Tigger Earhart. A big thank you goes out to our partners, RanchChannel.com. Check it out, RanchChannel.com. The world-famous Miles City Bucking Horse Sale, the DLCC Ranch, Stockman's Livestock Exchange, the American Gelvie Association, Imogene Ingredients and Pharmatan, Westway Feed Products, Medora Boot and Western Wear, Allied Genetic Resources and Allied Feeding Partners, LivestockMarket.com, EquineMarket.com, AuctionTime.com, RFD TV, Wrangler, and this fine radio station. Cow Country News, you know, the cow stuff. Heading right into the news, and this is the one that everyone has been buzzing about this week. A mysterious disease has been working its way through the Texas Panhandle, puzzling the agriculture industry. Well, Texas Agriculture Commissioner Sid Miller received confirmation from the United States Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack and the Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, APHIS, that the mysterious disease has been identified as a strain of highly pathogenic avian influenza, commonly known as bird flu. As of earlier in the week, three dairies in Texas and one in Kansas have tested positive for HPAI. That's the highly pathogenic avian influenza. The Texas Department of Agriculture is vigilantly monitoring this outbreak. The Texas dairy industry contributes roughly $50 billion in economic activity across the state. Texas also ranks fourth in milk production nationwide and continues to be a key player in the dairy industry. Commissioner Miller wants to assure consumers that rigorous safety measures and pasteurization protocols ensure that dairy products remain unaffected by HPAI. The Texas dairy industry maintains strict standards to ensure the safety of every product. Commissioner Miller said there is no threat to the public and there will be no supply shortages. Miller went on to say that no contaminated milk is known to have entered the food chain. It has been all dumped. Now, in the rare event that some affected milk enters the food chain, pasteurization will kill the virus. Cattle impacted by HPAI exhibit flu-like symptoms, including fever and thick or discolored milk, accompanied by a sharp reduction in milk production, averaging between 10 to 30 pounds per cow throughout the herd. Economic impacts to facilities are ongoing as herds that are generally impacted may lose up to 40% of their milk production for 7 to 10 days until symptoms subside. It is vital that dairy facilities nationwide practice heightened biosecurity measures to mitigate further spread. Texas dairies are strongly advised to use all standard biosecurity measures, including restricting access to essential personnel only, disinfecting all vehicles entering and leaving premises, isolating affected cattle, and destroying all contaminated milk. Additionally, it is important to clean and disinfect all livestock watering devices and isolate drinking water where it might be contaminated by waterfowl. Farmers are asked to notify their herd veterinarian if they suspect any cattle within their herd are displaying symptoms of this condition. Now, we have links to additional information and various articles in the show notes at ranchitupshow.com. Now, in other news, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association thanked the U.S. Senate for passing a resolution to block Paraguayan beef imports. The resolution comes in response to a U.S. Department of Agriculture rule that lifted the longstanding ban on Paraguayan beef imports despite the country's concerning animal health track record. NCBA has repeatedly raised concerns with Paraguayan beef imports since the proposed rule was issued last year. NCBA specifically called out the outdated animal health data used. NCBA Executive Director of Government Affairs Ken Backus says, "We are greatly concerned that the U.S. government relied on nine-year-old data that site visits from 2008 and 2014 to justify access for Paraguayan beef imports." He went on to say we should never rely on old information to make important decisions that could put the health and safety of the U.S. cattle herd at risk. NCBA has maintained from the beginning that USDA should not have proceeded with this rule without current information to accurately assess Paraguay's ability to meet our strong animal health standards. He says we are extremely appreciative of the Senate demonstrating strong bipartisan support to block this rule, and we urge the House to advance this legislation as soon as possible. We have more information about this story, including said resolutions, available in the show notes under episode 178. In reports earlier this week, the USDA predicted Australian beef exports to rise 9% as herd numbers continue to increase. The U.S., South Korea, China, and Japan, all among Australia's historically strongest export markets, the USDA said is the most likely to be the first to receive the expanded supplies. The USDA wrapped up by saying herds have largely recovered from the drought of 2017 to 2019, so exports of live cattle are also likely to rise as much as 36%. And as long as we're on that topic of imports and exports, let's look south of the border. Daryl Peel, OSU Extension Livestock Marketing Specialist, says U.S. cattle and beef trade with Mexico has evolved a great deal over many years. Mexico became one of the major beef export destinations about 25 years ago. In the last dozen years, Mexico has become one of the major beef import sources for the U.S. as beef trade evolved from simply supplementing deficient beef production in Mexico to bilateral specific trade between the two countries. One of the oldest components of the U.S. beef industry trade with Mexico has been the importation of live cattle. Mexico's extensive range resources have provided the country with a comparative advantage in feeder cattle production over many years. Imports of Mexican cattle have averaged over 1 million head annually for the last 40 years. Many of the Mexican cattle imports enter stocker programs in the U.S. prior to the feedlot finishing program, although some are placed in feedlots directly upon arrival in the United States. In 2023, imports of live cattle from Mexico increased 43% over the year. However, the large percentage increase was in comparison to the very low level in 2022. Imports of Mexican cattle in 2022 were the lowest since 2008. Flows of Mexican cattle into the U.S. market vary from year to year because of numerous factors in both countries, including relative cattle numbers and cattle prices, beef market conditions, drought, and the currency exchange rates. And that is a look at the news. When we come back, we're heading to the largest seed stock operation. Go nowhere and keep it tuned right here. The Ranch It Up Radio Show will be back after this. South Devon, Poundmaker, and Navigator Genetics from the nation's premier South Devon breeder, DLCC Ranch. Join the crew on Saturday, April 20th at the ranch in Piers, Minnesota. Sale information at dlccranch.com, ranchchannel.com, and bidding available through Superior Livestock Auction. When genetics matter, use an outcross of South Devon Genetics from the DLCC Ranch. The quick, fast, easy, all-in-one location to look at bull sales. Head to ranchchannel.com. Check it out on your phone, ranchchannel.com. All the information on one page at your fingertips. Videos, catalogs, everything, ranchchannel.com. Jorgensen Land and Cattle presents the 52nd Annual Top Cut Production Sale Monday, April 15th at the Jorgensen Land and Cattle Sale Facility in Ideal, South Dakota. Selling over 150 registered Angus bulls from the herd packed by seven generations of selection. Bidding online at dvauction.com, videos and sale information at ranchchannel.com and jorgensenfarms.com. Timeless Angus genetics from Jorgensen Land and Cattle Company, America's number one source for bulls.
Cattle Market reports to various news stories. The Tri-State Livestock News covers it all. Check us out at tsln.com. Subscriptions or advertising, call Tracy Hawk at 406-951-3211. The Tri-State Livestock News, what ranchers read.
Cattle Battle.
Welcome back to the Ranch It Up radio show. It's the most information packed into a 30-minute program that you can find. It's your all things ranching newscast, and so glad to be with you all. Questions, comments, concerns, criticisms, it doesn't matter. Give us a shout, give us a call at 707-RANCH-20. That's 707-726-2420. You can text us there as well. Email ranchitupshow@gmail.com. Prowling around social media at Ranch It Up Show. Who is the top seed stock producers? Who are they? Who is the number one? I think if we asked 100 people, we would get 100 different answers and 100 different reasons why one is over the other. But if we look at the pure number of bulls that is marketed annually, there is only one that is on top and has been for a number of years. Family-owned Jorgensen Land and Cattle in Ideal, South Dakota. Four generations have led to the success of Jorgensen Land and Cattle, or JLC, with the fifth generation fixing to take his place very soon. Today we are visiting with Cody Jorgensen. Hey, Cody, great to visit with you once again. You know, it's been too darn long. The top seed stock producer, that's quite a resume. How does this one break down?
We market this year in 2024, we're expected to market a little over 6,000 Angus bulls across the nation. And the way we do that is we do that through several different methods that you might say. We'll lease a lot of bulls across the nation. We also sell bulls. So kind of the timeline of a bull when he's really, you know, on our place is that he'll come in as a weaned calf and we test him and do all his genetic merits. And then we will lease that bull as a yearling and then lease him again as a 2-year-old in the spring. And then as a coming 3-year-old, we're going to market that bull, somewhere in the southern market. Texas, all the states around the Gulf of Mexico. And so that's how we put so many bulls together. We've got 16 genetic partners that we work with here in the 5-state area around South Dakota. And those guys will come into our cow herd that we manage here in Ideal, and they will select the very best bulls that they can that are directly products of our embryo transfer program or our AI program through our very best cows that we manage here in Ideal. And so that's how we put so many bulls together.
And what goes through my mind is that's incredible. Congratulations. The amount of data that you have on your genetics is probably just staggering, the amount of information that you have. But then I also have to say, for those people that have not purchased from Jorgensen Land and Cattle might say, well, gosh, Cody, I don't want to be lost in the mix, right? Because customer service is always number one.
Yep, no question about it. It is, it always has, always will be a service-oriented business. You know, a lot of people, they're going to buy genetics from you, you know, because of who you are and you may have a reputation or come from a reputation family. That's all great. And, you know, we like doing business that way. And so it is our goal to have our customers, you know, not get lost in the shuffle. That is something that we strive hard at. And that's what our sales team has been coached to do. You know, you're right. There is a ton of data. We do operate our own genetic evaluation. Every one of these bulls are DNA tested through the collaboration that we have with Zoetis. And so we're, you know, our genetic evaluation is starting to gain some pretty good steam right now. We're well over 25,000 animals in that evaluation. So we're looking at these cattle against each other. And, you know, we're not, you know, we want to know from a breeding standpoint, we want to know, you know, the bad ones just as much as we want to know the good ones, right? And I think that's how you do make true genetic progress is you know, from a whole herd reporting standpoint and, you know, being able to have, you know, quality data going into your evaluation always makes a difference.
So you mentioned the leasing the bulls, and that's intriguing to me. Tell me about that program of how you go about leasing the bulls.
Yeah, so it's become really popular because it's really quite convenient for the person leasing the bulls. So how we do it is we start basically around the first of the year, and people will call in on a first come, kind of first serve basis. We do ask for a down payment at commitment time. Once you get your down payment in, then you're welcome to either come and take a look at the bulls and select the bulls yourself, or if you'd rather just have us do it for you, we have a, you know, have the ability to, you know, to go through all the bulls and kind of get a taste of, you know, where you want to take your cow herd, and we'll do our very best to select those bulls for you. Probably the most exciting thing for me, though, is if we can actually get our client to DNA test at least his heifers or a cross section of his cows, just to give us, from a genomic standpoint, you know, what it is that they that client may be really good at, or you know, where that client might need some genetic help. And so this is kind of new for the beef industry, I think, is to have, you know, I think there's a lot of people out there that have DNA tested, but I'm saying that there's not a ton of, you know, C-stock guys that are really helping their clients interpret the data and then be able to make, you know, sound breeding decisions based on the results of that genetic test. And so once we go through a genetic consulting session with one of our customers, it really, I wouldn't say open their eyes, but it really does kind of give them, it kind of invigorates them to the point where that, you know, this is something new. And the things that I have been working on are proven right here in genomics. And the things that I don't put as much pressure on, that's where I might need some help. And so, boy, once we go through that session with them, they really appreciate it. And then to know or and ensure the fact that we can select a battery of bulls for them that accomplish everything that they need from a genomic standpoint, that's really quite rewarding.
I think that is tremendous that you say the team coming together and consulting with the commercial cowmen about what is the best type of bull, but using the genomics to do that. And I know when you say, well, it's, you know, it's kind of new to do that. I agree with you, but I think it's tremendous, because one of the things that I found out, Cody, is that all of this time, we were actually choosing some of the wrong genetic combinations. And, you know, it, you know how it is. Every year it seems like, well, there's a wreck for this reason. Well, there's a drought. And then there was this. And then there was this. And then there was this. And lo and behold, what's interesting is that you find out, by golly, I could have actually maybe been choosing the wrong type of genetics for what my goals are on my operation. You know, there's large effect genes, and all of the science comes into play. Now, to me, I just get all excited. I kind of geek out when I hear this stuff, but I love when we put science behind this, because numbers don't lie. Math is math. It's a universal language, and the genomics gives you a tremendous a benchmark, be it good, bad, or indifferent. It gives you a benchmark of where you're at, and it seems that 9 out of 10 times, if we really look at that objectively and are open to what the results are, by gosh, we maybe thought we were doing this, and we really need to do that.
Yeah, exactly. And you nailed it. I tell you, there's a lot of good bulls that got used over the years that may not have been the best bull for the time. I mean, and that's just not, you know, that's just not having the tools in the tool chest, you know, to really interpret and understand what it is one might need it in their cow herd. So this is really exciting to me. It kind of does make the hair on the back of my neck stand up a bit when I talk about it, because it's, you know, DNA is forensic, and DNA cannot be tampered with, and you either have it or you don't. And that's what I love about the direction that Jorgensen Landing Cattle is going with, you know, offering a genetic consulting session with our customers. It is truly easy for them to understand, And by the end of the session, we definitely come up with solutions.
Hey, Cody, thanks so much for the time. We'll have more with Cody over the next few weeks, focusing on their management style, cowherd philosophy known as the mother load, and lots more right here on the Ranch It Up radio show. The Jorgensen Land and Cattle Company annual production sale is coming up fast. It's Monday, April 15th at the JLC Sale Facility in Ideal, South Dakota. You can bid and buy online at DV Auction and Superior Livestock. All of their sale information, including videos and sale catalogs, is available at ranchchannel.com. Check it out. Now, coming up, we've got market recaps and lots more right here on the Ranch It Up radio show. Go nowhere. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Mark Banzi with LivestockMarket.com.
Every week we hear from one of our great partners with updates, info, schedules, reports, and everything in between when it comes to buying and selling livestock and hay online and private treaty. LivestockMarket.com.
Josh Turner.
Baby, lock the door and turn the lights down low.
Live in concert Thursday, May 16th at the Miles City Bucking Horse Sale in Miles City, Montana.
Baby, we ain't
one of country music's hottest performers with special guest Chancey Williams.
Baby,
tickets are on sale now at buckinghorsesale.com. Josh Turner with special guest Chancey Williams at the world-famous Miles City Bucking Horse Sale in Miles City, Montana. Why not give Gelbvi and Balancer Bulls a try this year? Raise replacement females with added fertility, increased longevity, and greater productivity. Get increased performance, improve feed efficiency, and increase the carcass merit. Maximize crossbreeding with Gelbvi and Balancer. At Allied Genetic Resources, it's all about commercial customer success.
We see that charge, we understand that charge, and we're going to use all the tools we can to get there.
To maximize heterosis, purchase your next herd sire from an Allied Genetic Resources partner. Just head to AlliedGeneticResources.com. Nutrition does not need to be difficult or overwhelming or complicated at all. Keep things simple with Westway Feed Products. Cow-calf, dairy, feedlots, equine, and custom if you need. You can count on Westway. WestwayFeed.com. Welcome back, everyone, to the Ranch It Up radio show. That time of the program, we check in with Kirk Donsbach, StoneX Financial Incorporated. We recap last week to see what's going on, to try to give us an idea of what might happen in the future. Kirk, what's going on, buddy?
Well, good morning, Tigger. We did have a cattle on feed report last week, but we'll get to that in a minute. As of Friday, March 22nd, April feeder futures closed the week at 251.87.5. That's down 5 cents on the week, with the CME feeder index up $2.38 at 251.38. That moved our basis to a positive $1.43 versus March and basically even with the April. The cattle on feed report did come out at 101.3 versus last month, and that was against expectations of 100.9. The place number, which was a little bit bearish, was at 109.7 versus expectations of 106.2. And the market number came in at 103.4. versus expectations of 103.9. April live futures closed the week at 187.60. That's up 42.5 on the week, with cash trading 188 in the south and 190 to 191.5 in the north. That left the five area weighted average up $1.70 at 189.52. The basis swung from negative to positive 202 on that action, and that is typical seasonally and as we enter delivery for April futures. The weekly slaughter was 598,000. That's down 3,000 head versus last week and 30,000 head below the same week last year. Choice boxes printed 310.72 to close the week. That's down $1.18. To wrap this all up, May corn continued to consolidate sideways, closing the week at 439.5. That's up 1.5 cents on the week.
There has been a lot of research to test which cattle are feed efficient in controlled environments, such as research settings and feedlots. But what about out in the pasture? Hey, hey, I'm Shay Warner, and I'm the host of the Casual Cattle Conversations podcast. One of my recent episodes with Sirius Tag discusses how cattle producers can now measure which cows are utilizing pasture forage most efficiently during grazing months, and how this information can be applied to their operations. Here's a snippet of what we discuss.
I think the utility is better accounting of what cows are pulling their weight and which ones are maybe a little bit more of a forage sink for you, right? So again, that cow that weans off a heavy calf every year, we've tended to love her, but if we don't have that other side of the accounting, it's really hard for us to say if she's actually a net positive for us, or she might be average or below average when we see how much she eats, right? So any amount of information we can have that scales our productivity by that utilization of our limiting forage is really, really valuable, both at the individual herd level and once we extrapolate out into the population.
Listen to the full story by searching for Casual Cattle Conversations on your favorite podcast player. Happy ranching, folks.
I tip my hat to you from one legend to another.
And now before we say fairly well, we want to give a big tip of the hat and a shout out to each and every one of you. We want to wish you and yours a very, very happy Easter. Remember the reason for the holiday, y'all. If you aren't able to spend it with friends and family, and we hope that you are, please take a little time to call a friend, call a loved one, visit for a little bit, and remember to be safe and enjoy the holiday. And now that is going to wrap it up for today. A big thanks from our crew to yours. Cody Jorgensen with Jorgensen Land and Cattle Company, appreciate you. Kirk Donsbach with StoneX Financial Incorporated. Shea Keister Warner with Casual Cattle Conversations. And the boss lady, Rebecca Warner, a.k.a. Beck, not in on this episode, but she'll be in next week. A big thank you goes out to our partners, RanchChannel.com, the world-famous Miles City Buck and Horse Sale, and that is coming up awfully fast. We're going to hear more from them coming up soon. The DLCC Ranch, Jorgensen Land and Cattle, Stockman's Livestock Exchange, the American Gelvy Association, Imogene Ingredients, Pharmatan, Westway Feed Products, Medora Boot and Western Wear, Allied Genetic Resources, Allied Feeding Partners, LivestockMarket.com, EquineMarket.com, AuctionTime.com, RFD-TV, Wrangler, and this fine radio station. And crew, so glad y'all came with us one more time as we ranch it up. Be sure to like and follow us on Facebook at Ranch It Up Show. Our email is ranchitupshow@gmail.com. Call and text us 24-7 at 707-RANCH-20. Spread the good word and join us again next week where it's always Tigger and Beck approved. Stay ranchy and ranch it up.